Hey you, I'm excited you're here. Welcome to Triumph After Trauma. I'm Caitlin, aka Katie, designer, business owner, go-getter, and most important, human just like you. I created this podcast to provide tools and support to those of you struggling to cope with a mental illness or work through a traumatic experience. Weekly, I'll share a personal story of mine, how it affected me, resources that helped me out of that dark place, and I'll end each episode with an empowering reminder. What I want for you to know is if I can make it through really tough shit and still find ways to thrive, so can you. Let's get this started.
Hello, hello, and welcome to another episode of Triumph After Trauma. I'm excited to be here. Of course, always far more excited to have you here with me, friends. I want to start the episode by apologizing for not releasing an episode last week. I had every intention of doing so, and then the initial meeting I had with a publisher to possibly publish a prompt journal that I have been quietly working on, that happened last Monday, just over a week ago, and then it just took a really quick turn from there. A really great turn, because I will be publishing this journal that I've been quietly working on. It will be through Tellwell, and it should be sometime this week, actually, that I officially sign a contract. But it all happened very quickly. The yes from the publishers came a lot faster than I expected, and so that journey just has kind of taken off. With that being said, I will continue to do podcast episodes. I will either do them weekly still and just do a little bit of shorter podcast episodes, or possibly keep them anywhere between 20-30 minutes, but switch to doing them bi-weekly. I'm still playing around with both ideas in my mind, and not one or the other has popped out as feeling more aligned yet. But when one comes out as the most aligned feeling, that is the option I'll go with, and then I will obviously be updating you on whether or not we keep it weekly or switch to bi-weekly. But yeah, that is what's going on, and that is another thing that's being added to my plate. So, it is official. I can now say it. I will be publishing a prompt journal, and I'm very, very excited about it. But yeah. Now you have all the information on why I was away last week, what is going on with said journal, and now you know that I have a little bit of a decision to make with the podcast. But like I said, whether I just do shorter episodes weekly or switch to bi-weekly, this podcast will not be going anywhere. Now that you know what you need to about the podcast and changes possibly coming, and I have let you know in on the surprise about me publishing a journal, we can dive into the goodness of today's episode so you can get some good content out of me. If, like me, you are diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, or you know someone who is, this will be a good episode for you. Because we are talking about anxiety toolkits, what they are, how to create one, and what is in mine right now that helps me keep my anxiety at bay. So grab your favorite drink, get cozied up. If you're out and about or doing chores already, make sure you've got headphones on so we're one on one. Now let's dive into this great chat. To give you a little bit of context, I was diagnosed with generalized anxiety disorder and dysemia, which is a mild but long-lasting form of depression, in 2012, January or February of that year. So it has been over 10 years since that diagnosis. There were many years. I would say most of my years since my diagnosis, that life was really hard. It was full of loss and trauma and tragedy and trying to unlearn things about myself, old patterns I have, and try to relearn certain things. Go from being a super unhealthy person who self-sabotaged to trying to make healthier choices for myself and learn to treat myself well.
There were many years where I essentially was drowning in my anxiety and depression. I could not get control of it. It had all the control over my life, and I was drowning. In those years, when anxiety and depression really had a hold on me, I had all the unhealthy coping mechanisms. I self-sabotaged, I self-harmed. I was my own worst enemy. I was my own biggest enemy for many years. It wasn't until I hit my rock bottom. And for me, my rock bottom was realizing I figure out the fuck how to get the hell out of this and start swimming instead of drowning so that I can save myself. Or this is my life. The rest of my life, and it's going to be a shitty one, and it could be a damn short one. And then that fear hit me. And when that fear hit me, like, deep in my gut, that's when I realized, shit, this could literally be, like, a do-or-die situation. This could be a do, or you live a miserable, shitty life situation. And I may have not asked for this life. I may not have asked to have been born. But I'm certainly not going to sit here and keep making my life miserable by letting anxiety and depression drown me. It was at that moment that fear really hit me, and I had that realization that then I realized there's got to be a better way. There's got to be a better way to treat myself, to think about myself, to show up for myself. There's got to be ways to actually cope with anxiety and depression and everything else going on, not just live in it. And I won't lie, this was actually only a few years ago. A lot of people have asked me what my exact moment was that I hit that rock bottom. It was, if I'm perfectly honest with all of you and mostly myself, that rock bottom hit me at the moment I was making a decision. Do I run from my ex? Do I take a chance and run, not knowing that running for sure will keep me safe from him? It was when I had to make that decision that this really hit me. I'm not in a healthy situation. I'm not living a healthy life. Anxiety and depression has a hold on me. And I need to either make a change or do F all. And this could be all my damn life is. That was the moment that I had that rock bottom moment and that realization that got me to do something about it. So when I got to this point, I finally ran from this relationship. I started to take trying to care for myself, get real help to learn how to in healthy ways cope with my anxiety and depression and whatnot. When I got to the point that I actually started making an effort for myself, actually made small steps every day so that I could eventually stand up and stand on my own 2 feet and be a decent dang person again, it was in these beginning stages, which I would say is anywhere between like 2019, 2020, when the pandemic hit, it was actually around there, not even a full 5 years ago, that I really started to look inwards and I realized I don't have some coping mechanisms. I don't have habits that are helping me get out of this place. What I have in my back pocket is a whole bunch of super unhealthy habits and a list of all the ways to successfully self-sabotage myself and hurt myself. And when I was able to look inwards and admit all the crappy qualities I have, all the bad habits I have, etc., that's when I was really able to say, okay, I need to slowly start replacing these things, these bad habits, these unhealthy mechanisms with things that are healthy. And I had to start small. One of the first things I did to start building an actual anxiety toolkit, which, by the way, is not a physical little toolkit or box that you carry with you. Your anxiety toolkit is just all the little ways that you take care of yourself, that when anxiety or overwhelm really hits, you can do these things or call, contact these people instantly to within minutes find and get a little bit of relief, or bring yourself back to a state where you realize you are safe. It's important to have an anxiety toolkit. Honestly, for me, even if you're not someone who severely deals with anxiety or is actually diagnosed with it, because there's going to be moments and situations in life where even if you're not diagnosed with a mental illness, your nervous system is thrown off track and you're going to need help reminding your body and yourself that you are safe, that you are okay, that you don't need to feel this overwhelm. So, with that being said, the first thing I did when I started building my toolkit was look into different breathing techniques and exercises. I have never doubted the power of deep breathing or of things like meditation and breath work, but there was a time where I was drowning in my anxiety and depression, and I could not do those sort of things. Like, I just, my nervous system was honestly at one point so fucked up that I just couldn't focus even for 10 minutes, for 5 minutes even, to just do some deep breathing and try to get myself calm. There was a time where it was just chaos internally. And so it did take time to figure out, first of all, how to actually let my mind quiet enough that I could do actual breath work or meditation. And it did take me time, it did take trial and error, to figure out what other sort of breathing techniques work for me. If I feel really overwhelmed or suddenly overstimulated and my anxiety just skyrockets out of nowhere, but I have a few minutes, I will find a quiet spot or a dark spot. Like, if I'm at home or at work or anything like that, I will just lock myself in my room, or at work I'll lock myself in the washroom, and I will take a few minutes to do a proper meditation. But if I am somewhere where it's busy or I can't get to a quiet spot, what I will do is close my eyes and give myself a minute to just do either rectangle breathing or a few rounds of box breathing, which is you inhale for 4, hold for 4, exhale for 4, and repeat. These I find are really beneficial for me, but there are lots of different breathing techniques and exercises that you can try out, that you can take time to give each a try and figure out which works for you. That's how I determined that for me, doing a 5-minute meditation, taking time to actually do breath work, or doing rectangle or box breathing personally works best for me. One of the other things that I have in my anxiety toolkit is, and it's not, like I said, an actual physical toolkit, but is phone numbers for my loved ones on speed dial. My mom and my brother are on speed dial, and I know that anytime I want to vent, but I don't want to bug my mom or brother, I have a partner and a whole bunch of great friends that I can text very, very quickly. I consider this to be something that's part of my anxiety toolkit, because I'm sure all know this, there's times in life, regardless of having anxiety, depression, or not, that life just knocks you over, hits you like a freaking freight train, and you can't function. Life's going great one minute, the next you've been hit like a ton of bricks, and you can't even get off the floor. You're crying so hard, you can't even breathe, you have no idea how you're going to make a comeback from this, how you're ever going to be okay again. It's in moments like that when I need to know that I have an instant way to connect with somebody who I know for sure deeply cares about me, has my best interest at heart, and will be able to support me in those moments.
as somebody who has anxiety and depression, this is especially important because we are built different, like biologically built different. So we can go from perfectly calm to an overwhelmed mess who can't even breathe properly all of a sudden in seconds. Whereas people may take more time to get to that point because some of you may have more patience or not get overwhelmed as quick and whatnot. But for someone like me, that can happen in seconds. And so I need to know that I've got instant connections to people who I care about that can in those moments. So that is why I say, make sure you have someone on speed dial or instant access to someone who you can call or text in your toolkit. To me, that is very important. I also have a small notebook and I have it with me at all times. It's a small enough one that whether it's my tiny crossbody bag, my work backpack, or a tiny little like wallet clutch type thing that women sometimes have, it's small enough that it can fit in the tiniest of bags. But what's in it are a few affirmations and really deep reminders that can help me out of an anxious thought pattern when it happens, or it can help me realize, oh, what's going through my head right now, what's going on in my brain is my anxious thinking, my inner critic, and then it can help me flip the script. Now let me give you an example, because I'm not the type of person who just writes in my affirmation section of a journal, I am strong, I am proud. Because yes, I'm a strong person, I'm proud of who I am. But I think for affirmations to actually work, they need to be deeper. They need to be essentially like really deep, meaningful reminders kind of thing. So for me, one of the ones that I have in my journal, it's actually the first one I have, you have made it through every single hard thing that you thought was impossible to get through. Whatever you are going through right now, you can get through too. You have all the proof that you are capable. When I get anxious, when my overwhelm gets the better of me, when I go from feeling great to suddenly overstimulated, I will grab this journal and I will read these affirmations over and over again in my head, slowly. And then it's an instant reminder. Yeah, remember that thing a few years ago you didn't think you'd get through, that you did? Remember when you ran from your ex and you thought that was it for you? You thought for sure he'd come after you? And yet here you are, safe, escaped from him, living? Remember being sexually assaulted and thinking that you could never trust a man again? And yet here you are in a happy, healthy 2.5 year long relationship now? Because you did the work internally to not let that one incident make you scared of men eternally? Like things like that, right? Having those affirmations to just pull out quickly brings all those reminders back, and then just like that, I'm like, no, wait. This is just a feeling. This isn't a fact. This is just my anxious thinking, my inner critic. This isn't how I really feel. I can do this. I'm safe. I'm gonna get through this. And it's just super helpful to have that in my toolkit, because when you do get overwhelmed and overstimulated, you may deep down know that you are safe, that you are gonna be okay, that you will be able to get out of these feelings and feel better soon. You're so trapped in those feelings in those few minutes that you need to be able to read these things or have someone say these things to you for the reminders to actually kick in and for you to actually be like, oh, no, wait, this feeling sucks right now. This situation sucks right now, but it's not gonna last. I've got this. And one of the other things that I have in my toolkit, I don't have a whole ton in my toolkit personally, because as somebody who does have anxiety and depression, I find having more than a few things in my toolkit at a time then in itself kind of becomes overwhelming. So these are the few things that I do have in my toolkit. And the last one that I want to share is a physical object. that I can play with to get my mind off things when I get overwhelmed. So something like a stress ball or a scrunchie or like a ponytail where I can kind of play with it and just mindlessly be doing something, or a fidget spinner, things like that are really great, I find, because sometimes you just need to get your mind off what's going on in your head by doing something mindless so that you're actually calming your mind. And I find that these are great ways to do it. I don't personally use a fidget spinner, but I do always have a ponytail to play with or a stress ball on hand to work through. I find when I'm using a stress ball or I'm kind of playing around with a ponytail, it just takes my mind off what was stressing me. You're just suddenly focusing on something else. Your mind is occupied by what you're doing, and it can just, in minutes, help that anxious thought go away. Whatever your inner critic might be telling you, that thought just drifts away. I don't know why something as simple as playing with a ponytail, a fidget spinner, or using a stress ball can help, but it does really, really help. So that is something I always have in my toolkit. There's one final thing I want to mention before ending the episode, and it is essential oils. You have to be really careful buying essential oils because they aren't always made with the cleanest ingredients. But if you are into essential oils, you understand how to make sure you are getting the best ones, the ones that are truly made with clean ingredients, essential oils can also help, especially the scent of lavender. I don't know what other scents really do that. I believe it's things like yin yang and peppermint, things like that, but I do know for sure lavender works because I always have a bouquet of lavender flowers in my own bedroom, actually, to get that scent of lavender. I don't personally use essential oils, and it's probably because I'm a little bit sensitive to strong smells, and because I do have a bouquet of lavender in my own room at all times, but I have heard that essential oils can really, really be helpful to have in an anxiety toolkit. So if you are into them, you deal with anxiety, and you're looking to add something to your toolkit, that could be something to add if it's not already part of your toolkit, or it's something you could make the first thing you add to your toolkit if you're trying to create. I hope this episode has helped you understand what an anxiety toolkit is, how the things I have in mind benefit me, and what the benefit is to every person in this world having some sort of anxiety toolkit. I hope that if you don't have one and you're looking to start creating one, that some of what I just shared might help you and might be the first things that you add to your toolkit. If you are someone who is really, really struggling, please do not be afraid to reach out for help, especially professional help, if you think that could help you get a proper diagnosis, understand what you're going through better, help you figure out healthy ways to take care of yourself and work through what you're going through. No matter what you're going through, what you're working through, or how hard you might be struggling right now, I want to share the reminder with you that you deserve to understand what you're going through. You deserve to get a proper diagnosis if you think something is wrong, so that you can then get the proper help that will get you to a better place and help you cope with whatever you are going through. You deserve to have healthy habits and coping mechanisms, not ones that will harm you or put you in danger. No matter what you are going through or what you're facing right now, you deserve to understand what that is and to have the right support that will get you to a better place. I need you to understand that if you are in a place where things are so dark you can't see that, I love you. I am so dang grateful that we're connected on this journey. And I can't wait to be back in this seat having another great chat with you soon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope this episode was helpful for you. If it was, tell someone about it who needs to hear this message, or share it on social media and tag me at This Is Katie, K-A-I-T-E-Y, so we can connect. Life is a wild journey, but we're on it together, and I'm so glad. You're never truly alone. I appreciate you, I love you, and I will talk to you soon.